where we find ourselves is that first, we're conformed to Christ's death. Then we participate in the sufferings of Christ. Then we get to know the power of Christ's resurrection. And then we know Christ. So it's reversed. You just consider your daily life. You're going through your day. And, you know, I've got to be careful about the example because I'll contradict myself again here in a minute. You're going through your day, and this day requires that you do something related to the home meeting you're having that night. And you just don't have time to do it. But saints are expecting you to come to your house. They're expecting you to come to your house, and you still have, you know, if you're the sister or the brother, maybe you're both fixing supper for everyone, or maybe you're preparing dessert. Or at least maybe you need to get into the Word a little bit to get something, be enjoyable. But anyway, you're pressed at work too. And you've got a job that's requiring something to be done. Well, you're betwixt a rock and a hard place in a sense. Well, this is a suffering. You're going through a suffering. And the only reason in this sense you're going through it is because you're taking care of the saints. You have the desire to take care of the saints. So you're put in a situation that is actually a death situation. You're locked into this thing. This situation is already something the Lord had gone through in the four Gospels. It's not different. You may think it's different, but it's not different. So he has already formed a mold concerning the situation you're finding yourself in. Now you're in that same mold. But as you're in that mold, if you decide to stay in that mold for the sake of the saints, then you go through some suffering. I mean, anyone's been in this, you know what I'm talking about. You either blow off your job, or you blow off the saints. But anyway, you've got to take care of something. So you're constrained. Well, this constraining causes an operating power to take place. And this operating power is the ability to bring you out of that place that you are finding yourself locked in. In Paul's case, it was in prison. It was in the Roman prison at the Praetorium, between Praetorium guards. He was locked there. He couldn't get out of it. We find ourselves in different places all the time for the sake of the church, for the sake of the saints. And we go through sufferings that we wouldn't go through otherwise if it wasn't for the church. And if it wasn't for the saints, well, this kind of suffering brings in the operation of the power of Christ's resurrection. And this is able to resurrect a part of your soul. It's able to bring a part of your being into resurrection life. You realize that on the cross, Christ crucified everything. He's the only one that's the new creation. Unless you receive him, there is no new creation. You're only a new creation if you receive Christ. But then, only a part of you is the new creation. The part that he came into. So little by little, he's got to bring every other part of your being into the new creation. So he operates by putting you and allowing environmental circumstances and situations to put you in a mold. And in that mold, you have some suffering. And as you're suffering, as you're enjoying the Lord in this romantic sphere, as you're enjoying him and allowing him to put you in these things, this is the reason it's got to be a romantic sphere, Otherwise, it's just a martyr's death. Then the operation of his power molds you, conforms you to him and to that death, the mold of his death. Then you know him. You know, Ephesians 4 says, you have not so learned Christ. And we know that not learning Christ there is learning him according to his human living, according to the four Gospels. A dough, a piece of dough, if you're making muffins or a cake, put this dough into a pan that's a mold. And it takes some suffering for that dough to stay in that shape. You've got to put it in an oven. And you cook it in that oven for a period of time with a certain amount of heat. Then when you bring it out, it's conformed the shape of that pan. Well, our human life, since our life with Christ is not a lot different. We need to be put into a mold that matches him. You know, Christ was the person who always denied and took the Father's way and not his human way. So for us to be put into his mold, we need to be those who are always denying the human life to be put into his life, which was also put into to death. You know, there's a verse in John 12:24, says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Just a few verses later, he says, trying to find it. I'll just share it verbatim. But eventually what he says is he's praying that where he was, the disciples would be. Well, where he was in death. We many times read that and we superimpose our Christianity concept that he's in the heavens. Or, you know, I don't know, but we superimpose something. But I don't think when we read those verses, we realize that when he was saying this, he was just talking about being put into the ground to die, and that it abides alone. Then he says, where I would be, you could be also. So we need to be in his death. That's where he wants us, is to be in his death. We're not people who should live an independent life. So anyway, just as that dough is molded, we need to be molded in his death in the same kind of way. You know, we didn't sing the song by A.B. Simpson where it says, you know, oh, it is so sweet to die with Christ. You know, it is sweet if we have this kind of a concept of what realm we're in. We're in this loving realm, and he's caring for us. He richly cares for us. He cares for us enough that he wants to bring every part of our being out of death and into life. And it takes a process of going through all the different things. So, eventually the sequence here is reversed in a sense of what it is in Philippians. It's reversed experience. Because first you're put into a situation. And then you go through the sufferings because of the situation that you're in. And then in those sufferings you experience the power of Christ's resurrection. And as you experience the power of Christ's resurrection, you get to know Christ because you are in his mold. And you're learning him as you're here in this mold. If you don't get me, get into these words and this book, Experience of Life, and into the life study of Philippians. 21, 22, and 52. You know, when it comes to suffering, saints, the reason I didn't want to misspeak here is there are at least three kinds of sufferings. There's the suffering that goes with redemption. And this is the suffering that most Christians know. When you talk about the sufferings of Christ, this is the one they know, is suffering on the cross for our redemption. This is a suffering that only he could do and we have no part in. He died for our redemption. So we have no part in this. Then there can be the sufferings that we go through just because we made a big mistake. We just blew it. Self-inflicted sufferings. Then there's also sufferings that we go through in our daily life that's related to our transformation. And this, in Romans, it talks about all things work together for good for those who love God. And this results in that we would be conformed to his image, right? This is a transformation suffering. But then the sufferings that Paul is talking about here are the sufferings related to the building up of the body. It's not for, we do experience the power of Christ's resurrection in our transformation sufferings, but it's not nearly as much as it is when you are suffering for the sake of the body. I usually don't like to do this, but, you know, Tim and I were in a situation because this little town, I told you, was only 1,100 people. And, of course, when we were there, we had a little group of pastors that were speaking against us and stuff. But then two other times, the Lord kind of reached into that little town to pull out some more people. And the last time, he pulled out a Methodist minister. And in that pulling out, they started meeting at the time as the church. And eventually, if any of you are from a small town, you can understand this. Murmurings, reasonings, and all kinds of things started going on. Eventually, they had a town hall meeting just for our sake. And it was a meeting to roast all the ones who were in the Lord's recovery, particularly in the church in this town. And, of course, Tim and I were invited to go to that meeting. And you got to realize that all the ones in there, we had known all of our lives. They weren't strangers to us. They were ones we had grown up with, ones that were school teachers. They were community leaders. You know, his whole family was well known in the town. My family, both my parents were teachers in the only school. Anyway, because of the Lord's testimony that was raised up there in that little bitty town, I don't know how Tim would describe it, but my description is if they could have tarred and feathered this, they would have. But praise the Lord. I would say for all of us, you know, there was a video camera that was running the whole time, and every time that they would talk about the Lord's recovery and the ones that were being captured out of this, they had pan over and take a look at all of us that were standing there, three or four, five, about five of us. So we're on video someplace. But I would say for us, the power of Christ's resurrection was there during that time. We experienced something that you just couldn't, you can't explain. It just lifted us completely out of that environment. We were in that environment, but we were out of that environment. Anyway, this is a suffering for the sake of the body, for the building up of the body. And this is what Paul is talking about here in Philippians. It's not the suffering that we would normally go through, which we do go through for our confirmation, but it's even more. It's for the saints who have given their time to be here this weekend. To drive here, to come here for the weekend is somewhat of a suffering. But don't you believe that the power of Christ's resurrection is here? Amen. I believe we're experiencing it and seeing it here among us tonight. But it's a price that we've had to pay to be here, the saints who are giving us hospitality, the ones who are fixing the meals, the ones who took care of the property to get everything ready for this time. This is something they normally wouldn't do, and they wouldn't do it if it wasn't for the churches and the saints. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have an opportunity to pour out on the churches and the Lord. On the churches and the saints. And this kind of pouring out on one hand is a suffering. On the other hand, we're put in that position. We're being conformed to Christ because inwardly, at least, there's an obligation we feel to do this. And in that, it costs us something. Suffering always costs you something. But the result of it is you get to experience the power of Christ's resurrection. And as you experience the power of Christ's resurrection, you get to know more of Christ. Amen. You get to know him in a different way than you've ever known him before. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's why it's so sweet to die with Christ. Amen. To the world, to self, to sin. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have this opportunity to be brought out of death and into life. Amen. Little by little, by the Lord manifesting his power of his resurrection in us. So this is why the power of his resurrection is a dispensing power. And it's all together wrapped up with the Spirit. Without the Spirit, again, I say he is just an objective Christ. You can never know him as your subjective experience. Okay, I covered 2 and A and B. You know, saints, these messages were going to be given at the Labor Day conference in Jacksonville, but because of the hurricane, they were never given. So Ron gave us permission to use them here, and because there was originally 6 messages, we've put them all into 4. And all the message outlines are here. We didn't want to cut anything out because we wanted all of you saints to have them so you could spend the time to get into them. As you're in the Memorial Day conference, encourage you to spend a little bit more time to get into all the ministry. Actually, nearly all the things that are used here in these outlines are quoted in the Memorial Day Holy Word for Morning Revival. So, use this as a way to expand what you're getting into in Holy Word for Morning Revival. I said last night, nearly every one of these points, if you'll spend the time, you can find them in these books. They're nearly word for word, almost all the points. So if you want a real exercise to find out what the brothers were talking about or what they really wanted to get across in the ministry, look these up and try to find these points in the ministry and spend the time to look at them. But anyway, in a sense, we're going through them really quickly. There's no way to cover all the things that Brother Lee shared. Just in the experience of life itself, in 2 conferences in 1978, there's 23 messages. There's no way to cover it in 4 times here this weekend. No way to do it in 6 messages in these. And I just, while I'm on the aside, the brothers agreed to put up on the webcast all of these messages so you can listen to them. They're there where you can listen to them on as the original recordings from Brother Lee. So if you want to, you can. They're there for listening to. Amen. So we come to 3. Philippians 3:10, Paul spoke of being conformed to his death, and this expression indicates that Paul desired to take Christ's death as the mole of his life. So the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, counting all things lost, gaining Christ, being found in him, knowing the power of his resurrection, knowing the fellowship of his suffering, all issue in one thing, being conformed to Christ's death. Being conformed to Christ's death is the base of the experience of Christ. This was Paul's hope, earnest expectation and hope, that Christ could be magnified through him, either through life or through death. So the mold of Christ's death refers to the continual putting to death of his natural human life that he might live the life of God. So when the Lord Jesus was on earth, he lived a crucified life. By living a crucified life, he was alive to God and lived him. So he always put to death. He always put the human life to death so that the divine life within him could flow out. Hallelujah. As he was living, he was also dying. Dying to the old creation in order to live a life in the new creation. This is the meaning of death in Philippians 3:10. Dying to the old creation to live a life in the new creation. God, Christ's death is a mold in which we were conformed in much the same way as dough is put into a cake mold and conformed to it. So God has put us into the mold of Christ's death. And day by day, God is molding us to conform us to his death. You know, I don't know. I got baptized. Of course, I was sprinkled when I was, I don't know when. But eventually, at one point, when I was in the military, the Lord would not let me pass. Every verse I read in the Bible was baptism. And I had been, by that time, with the Brethren Assembly for about 5 years. And if you knew the Brethren, you don't take the Lord's table with them unless you have been baptized. And I did not want to go to the brothers and tell them that I hadn't been baptized by immersion. And I would argue with the Lord, and I'd argue with the Lord. And eventually, the Lord won, and I ended up getting baptized. And at that time, I was just listening to what the Lord wouldn't let go. But it wasn't until Brother Lee shared on Ephesians 4 that I realized what happened to me. That in our baptism, we are really put into the mold of Christ's death. That's when we, as the start of our learning Christ. And when you begin and learn and you take that step, now Christ has a way to operate in your being. Until you're put into his death, even in baptism, you're just like dough plopped out on a countertop. It just runs all over the place. But once it's put in the dough pan, the cake pan, the mold, it can only do one thing. It can just learn the sides of that mold and what that mold is. And I realized that's what happened to me when I got baptized. I got limited. I got put into the mold of Christ. This is the beginning. We need to stay in that mold. And we need to learn Christ in every aspect of that mold. And all the circumstances we find ourselves in are so we can learn him and be conformed to that mold of his death. If we put to death the natural life, we will have the consciousness that we have another life, the divine life within us. This life will be released, and then our experience, we will be conformed to Christ's death. In the mold of Christ's death, the natural man is killed, the old man is crucified, and the self is nullified. Praise the Lord. If we allow the circumstances to press us into this mold, our daily life will be molded into the form of Christ's death. We are conformed to the mold of Christ's death by the power of Christ's resurrection. This is the oven. as we are conformed, as we are conformed to the mold of Christ's death by the power of his resurrection, we are conformed to Christ's death. We will experience his all-accomplishing death. By being conformed to his death, we experience Christ in his death for the release, impartation, and multiplication of life. This is the grain of wheat, right? This is the verse I was looking for. It was 12:26. Anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be. That's in his death, being buried with him as the grain of wheat. The only way to glorify God is to be conformed to Christ's death. The more we are conformed to Christ's death, the more we glorify the Father. Praise the Lord. This allows the life of God to get released out of us. When we die, the death of Christ, and we are conformed to his death, we shall be a magnet drawing others to Christ. Praise the Lord. You wouldn't think death would draw others to Christ. But because we die, his fragrance comes out. So the more we die with Christ, the more we save our soul. Conform Christ's death, we shall the world and defeat Satan. Praise the Lord. Well, I think I've gone over time, but anyway, praise the Lord.